You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
All right, so the past two Novembers, Scarlett Fu, you may have noticed Carol and I pop up out in...
I have noticed.
You have noticed. We're out at the Stanford Graduate School of Business because for the past 2 years running, Stanford's Graduate School of Business has been the number one business school, according to Bloomberg Business Week. Quick flex. Jonathan Levin has been nice enough to host us there. He is the dean alongside Sarah Soule, associate dean there. Really good to have you guys with us.
Lovely
Thanks
to be
for the
here.
Opportunity to be here.
Nice to talk to you again, Jason.
Same here. So, Dean Levin, I want to start with you. Tell us what it's like out there right now. You know, obviously, and we'll talk a lot about some of the work that you've been doing amid these dual crises that the nation is facing. But just, you know, give us a sense of what life is like there in Palo Alto.
Well, the weather is beautiful, and it would be a terrific summer if we weren't all walking around wearing masks and worried about social distancing. In a normal year, in the summer, we have thousands of business executives and other folks coming to campus for executive programs and all types of different summer programs that we run. Of course, all of that has been shut down this summer, and so we're running a whole range of virtual programs. We have working with businesses, and we're running a big virtual entrepreneurship program that we just put together over the course of the last 2 months, the Stanford Rebuild Program. But it's a very unusual time. There's nothing, you know, a university campus is meant to be a place with interaction and students and faculty and staff and everyone just bumping into each other. And right now it feels lonely and empty on the Stanford campus.
Yeah, that interaction is key, and it's what contributes to the success of institutions like Stanford Graduate School of Business. Associate Dean Soule, I want to bring you into this conversation here because obviously, as with other universities, Stanford is trying to, of course, increase its diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, really increasing the representation of Black and other disenfranchised people, not just among students, but also in your faculty as well. Talk a little bit about the plan to increase racial equity. How do you go about that in this kind of environment when people cannot get together and the interaction is so artificial and stilted?
Yes, thank you. And Scarlett, it's really nice to meet you. Nice to meet another Cornell alum.
Oh, yay. Go Big Red.
Yes. Let me step back a little bit and say a word or two about what it is we've been working on here at the Stanford Graduate School of Business. In 2019, we released our first diversity, equity, and inclusion report. And one of the goals that we issued in that report for the academic year of 2019-2020 was to spend some time studying and thinking about how we could do better as a school, as an institution, to learn from and increase representation and increase a sense of an inclusion and belonging for groups that otherwise before had been underrepresented in our efforts to date. So what we've been working on really started last year. And what we are announcing today is what we're calling the Racial Equity Action Plan for the school. And as you noted, Scarlett, one of the things that we are working on is representation in particular. And so what we are thinking about in this particular bucket and what we're announcing our commitment for is thinking how we can do better about bringing Black and other underrepresented minority teaching faculty, staff, and students to campus. And, you know, as I noted, this commitment really does build on the momentum that we have had over the last couple of years around our broader diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. But in particular, when we think about hiring of Black and URM teaching faculties, what we're thinking about doing in particular is taking advantage of an incredible initiative on the part of the university, that's Stanford University, to to bring 10 new faculty members and tenure line faculty members to campus on a search that is really centered around the impacts of race in America. Mm. So that's one piece of what it is that we're working on, collaborating with the university to take advantage of these new 10 billets for tenure line faculty members. And then on the sort of lecturer side, we also have a number of practitioners who lecture in our classes. We're working actively with our alums and also with our faculty to identify more Black and underrepresented minority teaching faculty, as well as guest speakers, too. So we can make sure that we are having voices heard in the classroom and that we're able to teach issues related to race in business and race in America.
Yeah, and I find that so interesting, you know, and Jonathan, the integration into the curriculum, as it were, I find really interesting here. And you've even got some new courses that you're going to be offering. Tell us about that.
I think one of the topics that we've spent a lot of time thinking about in our curriculum over the last few years has been generally preparing students to go out and be effective managers and leaders in diverse organizations, and to help build organizational cultures and be effective in leading in a world where the country has become more diverse, and the need for businesses to create widespread opportunity in many different ways has become increasingly important and is on everyone's minds. And so that's been something that, as Sarah just mentioned, we've thought about in what sort of cases our faculty are writing,
right,
in terms of the guest speakers they're bringing and so forth. And interestingly, when the pandemic arrived and we had to move very quickly into virtual teaching in the spring, we had the opportunity to create some new classes. We created a civic workshop class, mm-hmm, where the students developed ideas to around the pandemic. We created a new business and society class, which is a lecture series, virtual lecture series, where we bring people in from all around the world to speak to the students. Wonderful thing about virtual learning is you can bring in guests regardless of,
right,
geographic boundaries, short period of time. It's a phenomenal.
And Sarah, I want to pick up the conversation with you because I was reminded as I was getting ready for this. I mean, this is really part of all of your jobs in many ways, is understanding all of this when it comes to social movements. And I remember talking to you about this in a totally different context when we visited last November. Then we were talking about sort of the social movements around the use of technology. Now we're talking about something very different in many ways, and yet adjacent to that. I do wonder, when you look at Silicon Valley and certainly Stanford and the business school's prominent place there, what do you make of Silicon Valley's broader role in these discussions around equality? Because, as you know probably better than I, the reviews haven't been awesome when it comes to diversity across the tech industry.
That's a really wonderful question, Jason. And one of the goals that we have at the Graduate School of Business is to impact and make positive change beyond the GSB, and that includes most proximately Silicon Valley. And we aim to do this in a number of different ways. One of the things that we are working on actively is the GSB Racial Equity Initiative, which is going to be in partnership with our alumni, many of whom are here in Silicon Valley. And the goal of this is to increase representation, strengthen leadership, and foster economic inclusion beyond the campus, and again, as I said, most proximately here in the Silicon Valley. So that's one of the ways that we hope to help the companies here in Silicon Valley. The other thing that we're doing actively right now is collaborating with the Stanford VMware Women's Leadership Lab on a number of different toolkits and trainings that we're developing in conjunction with the lab, but which will become part of the training for all of the corporate partners in that lab. Now, while the lab is focused on gender representation and gender equality, they're more broadly focused on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and like most organizations right now are focusing on racial justice and racial equity. And so those are just some of the ways that we hope we can impact our local area, but our global area, the global arena as well.
I want to pose my question to Dean Levin. I mean, obviously, increasing diversity is a huge priority for universities, for companies. I wonder, though, are you expanding your class size to be able to bring more underrepresented minorities on campus, or are you still looking at the same class size? And this matters because otherwise, it becomes a zero-sum situation where more spaces open up for a certain group of people, but that means others that might have been able to get in are no longer able to get in.
It's a wonderful question, Scarlett, in terms of thinking about some of the trade-offs that can arise in thinking about class composition. At the Stanford GSB, our class size has increased gradually over time. At a continuous rate, and so we have been able to have more students be in our MBA classes and our one-year master's MSX program over time, and that has helped to broaden the set of people who have access. And there are opportunities through some of the programs that we also run that are non-degree programs. For example, we run an online program, the LEAD program, which now has hundreds of participants every year to reach more people. And that's a way, by providing broader access to the business school, that we're able to reach more people and all different types of people. And that really helps when your goal is to create more access for different groups.
All right. Before we let you guys go, only got a couple minutes left. Dean Levin, where are we when it comes to getting folks back to campus this fall, given the backdrop that you're seeing in California, but also taking into account you are, by all means, a very international school with a global footprint and a global population?
It's a great question. Everyone wants to know the answer. We're all trying to figure it out. We're in a mode right now where we're planning for contingencies. So we have had a plan to bring our students back to campus, to have a hybrid learning environment where there's a mix of in-person and virtual learning. We are, like everyone in California, waiting for the state to provide guidance around what will be possible and allowed, and our county, Santa Clara County, to do the same. And we'll have to operate within the bounds of those regulations. So we're also preparing for an eventuality where we would be doing virtual learning as a backup plan. And I think, our focus is that whatever rules we're given by the state and the county, the public health rules, we will do everything we can to create a wonderful, immersive, interactive environment for our students. And I think our students are committed to that. Our faculty are committed to that. No matter how we end up this fall, we're going to end up doing a lot of innovation, because it's going to be uncharted territory. And we're gonna rely on the innovation of our community and the goodwill of our community to get through it. And I'm confident we'll have a great quarter, no matter how it plays out.
All right. Well, we look forward to visiting with you in person someday, some way or another. Jonathan Levin is the dean of the Stanford Graduate School of Business, along with Sarah Soule. She is Associate Dean, Professor of Sociology, Organizational Management, as well, Organizational Behavior, really good to catch up with them.